The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
I'm Marek Hansel, editor of Institutional Real Estate Europe.
And I'm Mike Consul, one of the other editors here at Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Welcome to Report from Europe. And Marek, our topic this week is one that has been making big news in the United States as well for years. It's a niche real estate category. And we are talking about self-storage. Talk a little bit to us about the current state of self-storage in Europe.
Sure, Mike. Yeah, absolutely. Niche asset that's garnering quite a lot of interest here in Europe now. We recently actually had someone write for us about this subject in Institutional Real Estate Europe, which will be coming out in October. It was written by Zabir Mahboub, who's a vice president within the European research team at Heitman. So I thought I'd mention Zabir and Heitman because a lot of the stuff we'll be talking about today is partly based on the article they wrote for us. But well, in Europe, the current state is that it's kind of way behind the US, essentially, is the is the headline there. I think between 2015 and 2018, about 1.2 billion euros was invested in the sector, which is less than a tenth of the amount channeled into the US self-storage market. But then if you actually look at the total self-storage stock in Europe, it stands at about 10 million square meters, more or less, which serves a population of nearly 500 million people. And if you compare it to the US, for example, where the population is about, let's say, a third smaller, I think total storage there is about 300 million square meters. So it's quite a contrast.
So I wonder about that because in the United States, we tend to have big homes, big apartments, big homes with a lot of storage. And then that gets filled up. And it spills over and self-storage, then we turn to self-storage. Americans tend to be pack rats, I will tell you that. Especially as people get older, one of the things I've noticed is they really hold on to stuff. It's almost like a security blanket. Well, when they run out of space, here's the self-storage units that are, they're not cheap. No. But what is the mentality just completely different in Europe when it comes to holding on to old possessions, or why is Europe behind?
I've got to say, it's a really interesting question, Mike, because, you call them pack rats. I guess here in the UK, maybe we'd call them hoarders or something.
Yes,
like.
We call them that too. we have lots of names for them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's funny because I guess in Europe the homes are smaller than ones in America and in Canada.
Which might even suggest that you guys would use self-storage even more. But
yes,
when I said why is Europe behind, I should maybe say why is Europe ahead, because I tend to think people are smarter to purge, to get rid of stuff that we don't really use. So just get rid of it. Why waste your money storing something that you really don't use? If it's in storage, it means you're not using it. And it's different if it's a temporary storage facility. I'm staying in an apartment, but I'm looking to buy a home. Then I buy a home and I move all the stuff into the home. But that's really not what goes on a lot of the time. It's just people holding on to stuff for reasons that, again, I think it has to do with emotional security. But getting back to Europe, though, what is kind of the attitude in Europe about such things?
It's a good question. I think it's mixed. I think it may be a case of people having to sell things on and not sort of keep them in some countries, particularly where they've been hit. You know, this is kind of a bit, I'm speculating a bit here, Mike, but I would imagine, for example, in some of the Mediterranean countries that were really hit badly by the GFC and the sovereign debt wealth crisis, you know, where you had unemployment levels, you know, youth unemployment levels hitting almost you know, 40% levels in some places, something ridiculous like that. I'd imagine a lot of people perhaps sold possessions at the time. So that's maybe a kind of short-term explanation for the lack of self-storage. I guess if I look at here in the UK, a lot of people use their garages to stuff it full of stuff, so they don't put their cars in there. They just stuff loads of old things and furniture and boxes into their lofts or into their garages. So that may be a factor as well. I don't know. It's a funny one.
I have to tell you just quickly, Merrick, and for our listeners who maybe aren't aware of this, even here in the United States, there is actually a program on TV, or there was, where the self-storage development would have a tenant that stopped paying. So here's this unit. And then what they would do is have people bid on the storage unit, not knowing what's inside. You were just gambling on it. There might be something of value or what have you. And people would bid on it. And then the winning bid would open it up and find either a bunch of junk, which was useless, and they wasted their money, or they might find something of value. Are you familiar with that show, or does any such thing exist in Europe?
That rings a vague bell. I'm not particularly familiar with it, but yeah, it sounds like it'd be quite a good fun show actually to watch.
Well, so did the person from Heitman, your author from Heitman, who wrote this article, did she say that the market for self-storage, is she advising investors that this is a good market that's going to grow? Or what was kind of the take in terms of whether it's a good and investable market?
It's definitely one that looks like it's going to grow. I mean, there are some caveats, but if we look at the positives first, I'll just mention Mike. Sorry, Zabir was he's a man. So, he pointed out the positive signs. So one of the drivers for storage demand within a self-storage context is our mobile populations who live in dense settings. So it goes back to the old story about urbanization and how more people are moving into cities. And those kind of conditions are in place really all across Europe now. So if you look at countries in Northern Europe, they're heavily urbanized, you know, places like Scandinavia, the Netherlands, Germany, UK, obviously. And the urban population, is in very high percentile levels compared to people living in non-urban areas. So, because you have people there, they're sort of they're not very land-rich countries. Places like the UK and the Netherlands, urbanisation rates are high. You've got mobile workforces who are moving for jobs, for all sorts of reasons. They're moving into smaller properties or moving closer to the city into apartments that are smaller, and they need places to store their stuff. So that's one of the drivers. Another one is that the business sector is growing a lot. So in Europe, from sort of startups, retailers, tradespeople, startups, as I mentioned, they account for over 30% of storage use, according to Heitman. So, and in the UK, actually, that's an even greater share. I think it's 40%. Something like that. So it's not just people who from households. It's also businesses who are looking for places to store things, whether that be temporarily or on a long term basis. So that's sort of driving it all.
Is there a growth forecast in the article? Did she say that it's going to grow by X percent per year, just in terms of the amount of space being utilized?
Yeah, that's difficult. It's difficult to sort of make predictions in that sense. So,
what about returns? If people are investing, what kind of returns can they expect? Again, like I was saying at the top of the program, in the United States, self-storage has been a really hot niche category, and it seems to be endless. It keeps going. I think just recently it slowed down some, but people and their possessions. And with an aging population and people not liking to let things go, particularly as they get older, I'm being a pop psychologist here right now when I say this, but that does seem to be the dynamic at work here. So, and the returns have been excellent for investors in the United States. Any indication what kind of returns could be had by European investors in self-storage?
Eichmann mentioned they only focused on the UK in that sense, but they said that if you look at sort of high quality, mature freehold assets, they trade on yields of about 5.25% to 5.5%. So if you compare that to, office yields in London, prime office yields 3.75%, 4%, and then prime industrial logistics yields of sort of 4%, then that's a pretty good return. And it's been attracting investors here in Europe. There's a big investor, Legal & General Investment Management. Their real assets arm. They actually made their first acquisition into the self storage sector over this summer. I think it was in July, and they bought three brand new facilities, all in the UK. And these facilities would be managed by a brand called Shore Store. I don't know how. I'm not quite sure how prevalent Shore Store are, if they're just UK based or elsewhere. But they're going to be managing that for them. So if people like Legal & General are doing that, then it's a good indicator that it's going to be quite a fast growing sector. And they actually mentioned, someone from JLL who was looking at it mentioned that investor demand has grown strongly in the past 18 months for self storage in the UK. So it looks positive. But I think I mentioned the caveats, some of the problems. I sort of touched on that, Mike, and they could slow down growth. So I guess
what would slow growth down?
I guess it's the usual problems in Europe. So lack of available land, the need for residential. There's such a need in a lot of countries for residential use that local authorities prefer to grant planning for residential, you know, for apartments or housing developments rather than self-storage. Environmental considerations, I'm not quite sure what those would be in particular, but I think that's one of the problems as well.
Environmental, huh? Interesting.
Yeah.
I know that they do restrict what you can put in self-storage units. They are concerned about things like anything combustible. Yeah. There's, of course, because obviously, but I mean, if you look at them, they tend to be concrete block buildings, concrete and metal, so there's not a lot to burn, but obviously, you know, something combustible could explode and do damage and whatnot. Let me ask you, have you ever used a self-storage unit, Merrick?
I haven't personally. I think my father may have done. I haven't personally. No, I'm not really a hoarder, but my
I'm not a hoarder either, but I have used self-storage units for limited amounts of time, just months at a time, for reasons that I had indicated earlier, which is that sometimes when you're moving into a smaller place temporarily and then you're going to move into a larger place, I need a place just to hold my stuff for a handful of months. But I can tell you, they're not cheap, number one. And when you look at the amount of cost involved in developing a site, now, of course, there's the land and all that, but the construction cost cannot be really high, and then just maintaining the property looks to be extremely economical. Sometimes the people who manage the site actually live on site. It may be just a couple that run the place. They live on site, so they provide kind of security, but there's also security gates. You have to have a code to get in the gate, and all the units are locked down and so on. It seems like once they're built, the cash flow could be extremely good.
I think, yeah, that's one of the appealing factors is, once it gets going, the cash flow is great. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Mike. So there's definitely that aspect to it.
So to further research this story on your own, Merrick, are you going to rent a storage unit and just, you don't have to even put anything in it, just rent it and visit it from time to time to see what the whole operation is like? Or maybe you can expense that with the company, just do it for a few months. And I jest, of course, but having had the experience of using self-storage units, I will say the ones I've used have been very well run, and they're, again, the amount of management required once they're built is so minimal. I have to believe that this is one of the reasons why they're such good investments. The intensity of management is very low. You just have to deal with, you know, making sure that you don't get any thieves coming in and that people are responsible with their units and so on.
Yeah. I mean, I was wondering, as an aside, I was wondering, Mike, about, you know, there are some people who make quite good money on sites like eBay, don't they? Sort of selling secondhand, third-hand goods. So I guess a lot of those people would need a self-storage unit to store
goods. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. If you're a real collector of resell on eBay, you would need a temporary unit, a storage unit. And I can imagine, and maybe not even temporary, but permanent, and you have stuff kind of being rotating. You're putting stuff in and pulling stuff out as you buy it and then you sell it. So that's a good point. I didn't even think about that, but the fact that so many people are using eBay and other sites to buy low and hopefully sell for a margin, self-storage units could be exactly what they need, unless they, of course, they've got a big garage that they don't need to stuff with cars or what have you. So this is an interesting development that this is a mature market in the United States, an emerging market, it sounds like. Is that fair to say? Did your person from Heitman kind of refer to it as an emerging niche market?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's still in a sort of nascent state, I'd say. I mean, if you look at the moment, occupancy in more mature markets in mainland Europe, sort of like Belgium and France, hovers around the 90% mark, which is in line with the US levels. And you'd have to like quadruple the stock in Western Europe to bring it up to UK levels of storage penetration. So there's lots of room for growth. Certainly, yeah. Wow. And I guess there are these people who, these sort of baby boomers and a similar sort of generation, who have a lot of money, have good pensions, have maybe downsized and want to keep their stuff. As you say, Mike, there might be something deeply psychological about it. I don't know. It's interesting though. The Heitman guy did mention, Zubir did mention something about possible changes in consumption habits with millennials and Generation Z. So you know, he's talking far more longer term here now, but. You know, 30, 40 years down the line, maybe they won't be using self-storage as much as we are at the moment, because, I don't know, they may be more into sort of minimalism and stripping things down. But that's easy to do when you're young. I guess when you get older, it's harder to let go of things.
Yeah, you start to accumulate possessions. You know what? My apologies to your person from Heitman. I was referring to her as she. I misunderstood the name. What is his name again?
So I'll spell it out for you. It's if I'm mispronouncing it, and he is listening, I'm sorry, but it says.
Okay. Well, my apologies for saying she when it's a he. But at any rate, his points are all well taken, and we'll look forward to reading that article. And you said the October edition. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, October edition, which will be at the big big show in Munich, Expo Real, the annual. Fair in Munich that almost everybody seems to descend upon. So if anybody wants to read the article and they don't subscribe to the magazine, then pick up a copy of the magazine there in Munich and you'll be able to read it.
Beautiful. I was going to say that you mentioned kind of the Zen living, and that's another trend that we hear a lot about in the United States, and that's probably, maybe it's a Western world thing where people live kind of a Zen-like lifestyle where they really feel better with fewer possessions. I mean, in some cases, people don't have a lot of resources and they just decide, I'm just going to possess what's important to me and nothing else. But in a lot of cases, it's really a much more of a mentality of not being materialistic, having just the possessions that one needs. And the Zen-type living is even going to the extent of living in these really micro homes. There's these micro homes being built, and of course there's micro apartment units and so on. I can't say that that's a huge trend, because I think a lot of people like their creature comforts and all that, but at the same time, there's definitely a segment of the population, and I can say that my wife and I, every time we move, we purge. We feel good about just getting rid of stuff that we realize, look, you know, we haven't worn a piece of clothing or several pieces of clothing in a long time, give it to Goodwill, or there's just other types of possessions that we will just give away. Yeah. And it feels good. It just feels good to lighten up and be a little bit more mobile and the fewer possessions I have, the better I feel. So, but obviously that's not the case with everybody. Our storage units wouldn't be the gonzo investment that it is here in the United States and hopefully soon to be in Europe. It sounds like